We're going to be returning to the Aris HaTorah in a minute. I just wanted to do that last piece on the bottom of the Arugas HaBayisim that I photostated, which is from Rav Kook. It's from the Pinkasim Ksavim that are being put out, and I've mentioned many times, it's hard to believe that there are more writings that we have from Rav Kook that haven't been published. So this is from the third chelik of the Pinkasei Haraya that are being printed on page Shin Samach 360. On the bottom of that photo is that from the Arugas HaBayisim. We're learning last week the Arugas HaBayisim. Enei Hashem b'ne'emonei aretz, that Hashem's eyes are upon those who are faithful, of course, to Him. Being faithful to Him requires our being faithful to ourselves, and the shorish of each person, who he is, who she is, and focusing one's avodas Hashem, and that shorish being ne'eman to the root of one's own existence, of one's own neshama, and whether it be in Torah, avodah, and gemilas chasadim, within the world of Torah, the ne'emanus to oneself, is the tnai, is the condition to being faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learned, it was very beautiful, the Arugas HaBayisim explained about Eliezer, Eved Avram, such a faithful servant, and that acceptance of who he was. He could have had delusions of something else, and he accepted who he was, and wanted to serve Hashem within the mizgeres of his own life, not somebody else's, but within his own existence. And as painful as it was for him to hear that, he accepted it and he went ahead with simcha. So I wanted to end with this, even though there are literally hundreds of pieces of Cook's writings on this subject, but I wanted to end with this one particular one, because I felt that in order to move on, this is sort of a gesher, a bridge to cross over into everything else that we're going to be learning. Hanishama, I hope you have it in the bottom over there. Hanishama, Shadarka Lachshev Tamid. The nature of the soul, Shadarka Lachshev Tamid. In the life of this particular person, is that this is constantly the neshama is darka lachshev tamid, is always thinking. L'chadesh. New ideas, new concepts. V'lishov mimkaira ha'atzmi. That's all we've been learning. L'shov mimkaira ha'atzmi. To draw from the makar ha'atzmi, from the source of one's own waters, of oneself. The neshama wants homegrown. The neshama wants to draw mimkar ha'atzmi. So what happens to the neshama? Shekoyfim oisa lochuf oizna lekabel miachem. When you force the neshama to turn its ear in order to receive from others. Notice the neshama has its own wellsprings, as we've been learning for the past few weeks. And the neshama therefore wants its own thoughts, and the neshama wants its own chidushim. Everything, the neshama within one's own neshama, because each neshama is different. Still, the reality of life is that a person is always put into situations where the neshama is being forced to hear from outside. Anytime you read, if you read a book, you read a sefer, you read an article, you hear somebody else's opinion. If you are registered in school and you're taking a course, so you're in a situation where you're hearing many, many voices from the outside. So this contradicts the most basic need of the neshama, that by its very nature longs for originality. wants to hear its own voice. So kishakayfim oisa lokof oizno lekabel miacherim, when the ear of the neshama is forced to pay attention and to be mekabel miacherim, to hear, and there's a lot of good stuff out there, to hear what others have to say, himachneses es kol tuva bipimiyusa. So the neshama has, the person's own neshama, that has so much to offer, so much toiv, so much. Think of just little kids sitting in a classroom and listening and listening and listening, thousands of hours. So the neshama is machneses as tuva bipnimiyusa. She sort of retreats, the neshama. The neshama retreats, and machneses says kol tuva bipnimiyusa, and she brings in all of the toiv that she has to offer this person. The neshama holds it back, because right now this individual is in a situation where, for whatever reason, it's not important, the person has to hear voices from the outside. So the neshama has to retreat. And himachneses as kol tuva bipnimiyusa, all that the neshama has to offer, which is tremendous. Each, obviously, different madrigas than neshamas, but the neshama has to offer, she has to bring inside. Machnesa says, kol tuva bipnimiyusa. And as a result of that, Rav Kook writes, umargish haguf b'ze dika'on v'itzavam. This causes one to physically feel. Meaning physically, doesn't mean that something's wrong with the body, but to feel mamish, to be conscious of what? Of a sense of dika'on, depression, and itzavon, and sadness. But the person doesn't know why. Dikon v'itzavon. Even if a child has a relatively nice chevra in school, and a nice teacher, things are going well, but if you ask the kid, are you happy in school? I mean, just ask like a fourth grader, whatever, are you happy in school? So the child would say, under the best circumstances, you know, it's okay. Would you like to be in school more? We could offer you a summer program through the year, through the summer, and longer hours. The kid will look at you, you know, Hamanei Rasha. What do you mean? A healthy, normal child resents being in school. Just resents being in school. They accept it because everybody else is doing it. They have no choice. But resents being in a classroom, listening to people all the time, saying things. They have their own inyan that they would like to experience. So what happens to the child? What happens to all of us? Although children don't understand where it's coming from, we often don't either, is that there's a dika'on and itzavon. There's a certain, could be a certain level of depression and sadness, because the neshama has this powerful wellspring of its own chidushim, its own way, and it's being repressed, and that causes a feeling of dika'on in itzavon. The person can't necessarily identify. Children certainly don't know how to, and adults for the most part also don't identify what's the shirish, what's the root of my sadness, what's the cause of this depression, the silencing of my soul, period. The silencing, the suppression, the repression of my very essence, which causes terrible depression, and cause clinical depression, and even, God forbid, in extreme situations, la'aleinu, suicide.
Umagish haguf bezadikon v'yitzavon.
Utun, look at everything with Rav Kook is poetry. That's what makes it so hard to learn. But the lashon,
utmunas avir shel chayiv.
There's a bleak atmosphere of winter in this person's life. But not the kind of winter that we're thinking of here in the Five Towns, you know, going skiing for a weekend or something like that. Just a bleak, dreary, old-fashioned, cold, dark winter. And that's what a person feels inside of himself. And tumunas avir shel chayrif. So what's going to be? Here's where we cross over. Because a person can drown in that winter of depression, or that winter of sadness, and many people do. But that's not an Eitzah. It's also not an Eitzah to close oneself off to the world, Chas v'Shalom. And it's the Ratzon Hashem that the children go to school. It's the Ratzon Hashem that we listen and we hear outside ourselves. So, what's the tachlis? What does one do? So Cook says, "Achakach hakol holech v'choder al toch yusa." The person's hearing outside, and the person evaluates. All of us evaluate when we're listening, when we're hearing. We evaluate when we read something. We evaluate. And we're sorting. We separate. And those things that appeal, that we feel some attraction to, we feel some connection to, the nature of the person, of a healthy person, is instead of being angry, and God forbid, slipping into the winter of depression, instead, what the person, naturally, a healthy person will do, in a healthy measure, is to take some of these concepts and ideas that we hear, I mean, to carefully select, and to choose, and once we've made, conscious or unconsciously, we've made choices, we then absorb these outside voices into ourselves. Now, the trick is not to lose yourself. Right, that's very, very hard. But to take in these outside voices, it's the nature of the person. Everything goes, I mean, what everything, again, there needs to be a sorting out, but goes and penetrates into the neshama. Over time, certain concepts, ideas penetrate into a person's own neshama. Well, they're originally met with some resistance, depending upon how strong nature the person is. The outside voices are met with resistance. Parents have, oftentimes with these children, these are the children that make life very, very, very difficult. And for teachers, for a bayim, where there's a strong sense of self, these are usually the most harsh of the people in the world. And if they're not crushed by parents and teachers, they turn out to be the most harsh of the people in the world. But these choshuva people, children, there's an initial resentment, you're telling me, that comes out, can come out even in such an arrogant way. There's a resistance. So for some, it takes longer than others. But over time, there are outside ideas, concepts, that penetrate deep into the neshama. Not just on the outer edge, but deep into the neshama. V'nepach kol ma sheniklat latzmiyusa. To the point that what was absorbed, this what was taken and was absorbed, becomes actually, it's niklat latzmiyusa. It becomes absorbed into the atzmiyus of the neshama. So the neshama sort of adapts. It's not her own baby. It's not her own child. But the neshama, In order, to learn and to grow, and in order to survive, the neshama will naturally adapt and will take in as her own foreign concepts, ideas. This is what happens as we're growing up and we are attending institutions and so on of learning. We go to school, and we're hearing all kinds of things. Whatever's allowed into the borders of one's neshama can be absorbed deep into the atzmius of the neshama. Ubevo hazman, and when the time comes, this is part of maturing. Ubevo hazman, shehi misbatachas umishtachreres mikavoleha, and when the time comes, and the soul is opened and has been freed from her chains. Growing up, you know, it doesn't happen to everybody, maybe even most people never experience that. But when the neshama is able to finally climb out of that winter and rip off the chains umishtachreres mikavaleha that are confining her to other people's feelings, other people's thoughts, other people's way of life, and so on. And the neshama is mishtachreres mikimspatachas umishtachreres mikabaleha. Yod says he umi'ira b'or bahir. The neshama emerges and shines with a bright light. Now this bright light, this powerful light of the neshama, that has finally ripped off the chains of immaturity and so on, of otherness. This light, Yaitseis Hiu Mi'ira Ba'or Bahir, it emerges and shines brightly. And this light, Rav Kook says, Ishekoilol B'Soichai B'Tzura Atzmusis. It now includes in it, but not as something which is foreign and like stapled on, an addendum, but rather as part of itself, b'tzur atzmusis, as itself, b'tosef es brocha, with additional blessing, that concept from the outside is now the source of the tosef es brocha. That's what it means to learn. But b'tosef es brocha, b'hisachtus kol ha'eres kulam, is all of the lights of the soul, those that were naturally there, naturally from that particular soul, the shurish of that soul, where it comes from, and those that soul took in from a distance, from outside, from teachers, from parents, from rebbeim, from friends, from books, from svarim, whatever. All of these lights merge. Bis'achtus kol ha'aris kulum, but with a tesefes bracha, with additional bracha. Bein ma shehaya lechatchila b'mekayra, and these iris consist, what are these iris? These are iris that consist of lights that were from the original lights of that neshama, the original lights of the neshama, its own, from its own shayrish. Bein ma shehaya lechatchila b'mekayra, the ingathering of these lights that all merge, include Mashahaya Lechatchila B'Makar, that which was originally in the Makar of this Neshama. Bein Mashanasla Tchuna Makaris La Ayde She'ivasa. And it also includes that which over time has become its own. The Tchuna Makaris, Tchuna means a characteristic, a quality, but Makaris means original. In other words, it is now become incorporated into one's soul. And whereas originally it was accepted with great suspicion, it was foreign, but over time it has become woven together into the fabric of that person's neshama, of who the person is. The tchuna mekaris la'ayde shivas, and it's no longer just a guest that's hanging out in the person's neshama. Somebody that doesn't really belong. It's become mamish, a child. Ben mashinasal tchuna mekarisla aide shivasa. And the pasuk that we all know from Eishes Chayil, just the list, it's Mimerchak Tovi Lachma. The Pasuk in Mishlei, of course, is talking about the Eishes Chayil who brings her bread. Even if she has to go far away from home, she takes care of the family, and she'll go and she'll bring the food from far away to take care of her family. But in this context, Rav Kook is using it so beautifully, that the neshama, mimerchak tavi lachma, the neshama will go and find bread that comes from far away, will find sustenance that comes from a distance, that doesn't come from within the self. But that bread is also brought by the neshama, mimerchak tavi lachma, to feed herself, to take care of her children. So the neshama has that ability of mimerchak tavi lachma, to bring its sustenance from outside of herself, to go far away, and to be able to return home and to say that this is ours. I found this. It wasn't grown in our backyard. It wasn't grown in our backyard. I got this someplace else. I was in a market someplace. I was at someone else's farm. I was away. It's not from our backyard. It's not from our farm. This is grown somewhere else. But it's good. It's good, and it belongs. It belongs in our family. It belongs with us. So that's the quality that the neshama has of mimerchak tavi lachma, to bring that from a distance, from outside of oneself. So here, what Rav Kook is saying is that of course. The ikur is always the shayrish. The ikur is always what's in your backyard, in your neshama, homegrown. That's always the ikur. And therefore, when it comes to learning, when it comes to avodas Hashem, and we saw even when it comes to lahavdil, secular things, that a person will see more hatzlacha. There, it's not that urgent. But even there, a person will have more hatzlacha. Will have more hatzlacha in something which is in some way connected to his shayrish. Even when it comes to earning a living, when it comes to everything in life, that's the ikka. However, Rav Kook in this piece was explaining that does not mean chalila, that the person disappears from the world and closes himself into some tiny little cocoon of his own shayrish. Maturity means being able to adopt ideas, concepts, being able to adopt certain mahalchim outside of oneself, to incorporate them into oneself, those things that are healthy, those things that have a shaychus to one shayrish, to incorporate them into oneself and to make them part of oneself so that they no longer exist in a state of conflict with who one is. Because remember, as long as there's that conflict, then you're in the winter, that dreary winter of being totally disconnected from who you are. That's horrible. That's horrible. But one can learn, and one can absorb, and one can even incorporate outside concepts and so on, and make them part of oneself, so that listening and hearing and absorbing do not bring upon oneself these states of chalila, of depression, and feeling terribly distant and so on. But rather the person, that could be part, as like Rav Kook said, that could be part of the person. The atzmius of the person is upgraded. And it's a tesefes bracha. It's a tesefes bracha. So one should never be stubborn to only hear one's way. That's not a healthy midah, and it's not the right way to grow and the right way to learn. One has to be open to hearing other mahalchim in Avodas Hashem, other ways in Avodas Hashem. And yet you have to be careful to protect your borders. And it's a very, very difficult balancing act. What to let in and what not to let in. That's very, very hard. To make sure that you're protecting the borders of your neshama, and at the same time not to be such a person that not to be such a person that can't increase the bracha of one's own neshama by adopting healthy, good ideas and so on from outside of oneself. That's a very, very hard balance to strike. And much of what we go through in life is figuring that out. And the children, this is what they go through all the time. The children are going through this all of the time. And they don't know what to make of it. That's why you'll often have a situation. Unfortunately, I hear these kind of things all the time. You'll have, LaMarshall, there'll be a boy that is being bullied. He's being bullied by other boys. Boys will have a tendency to do that. So there's a boy that's being bullied. And that boy who's being bullied will then, a week later, be bullying some other kid in a younger grade. He'll be bullying some other kid. And you want to look at this kid in the eyes and say to him, Yankel, you know that's not nice. You yourself suffered from that. You didn't enjoy that. So why are you doing it to another kid? The children don't know what to do with this. When there's something that happens to them and it's something which is strange and foreign, oftentimes, instead of having the strength of character, because they're little, so they don't have the strength of character to look at the bully in the eyes and to say, you know, you're a bully, this is who you are. They don't want to get punched in the face. But you're a bully, and I'm so far from you. I have no shaychus to your mahalach in life. This is not who I am. I don't want to be like you. You're everything that I dislike in a person, that you're a bully. Instead, what often happens to kids is that they just go and bully somebody else. They don't know what to do with that. And it's so bizarre, because we think, why are you taking that in, that mida of bullying, when you yourself were subjected to that, and it caused you such pain? But every parent knows that these are maisim b'chol yom. Maisim b'chol yom. I had last week that there was a parent that was telling me about how their son is suffering from bullying in one of the schools, suffering terribly from some kid. And I'm telling you the truth. And I got a call this week from a different parent whose kid is suffering from bullying from that kid, from the kid, from last week's parents. I don't know what to do. What? Put them all in one room. Let them work it out. Call the Alam Gvar. Let them work it out. No, I don't know what to do with that. So this, this one tells me he's a Veltz bully. Notice this kid is a Veltz bully. I don't understand that. What happens is that children are very, very unequipped to deal with this. It's very rare that you find a kid that has stults, like a certain, you know, presence, to be able to say, that's not me. That's not me. And that's why it will naturally happen, even not just little kids, but teenagers. You'll have, like, the nicest kid in the world, but when that kid is hanging around with other kids, he's transformed into a monster. And you know that when that kid plays with your own kid just quietly, it was just the two of them, he's the nicest kid in the world. But in a group, no good. The children don't have strong borders. And, of course, that child is essentially good. Emphasis, every Jewish child is bad, some is good. But what to let in, what to let out, what the children see in the house, what they allow in, and what the children trust their parents, so the children assume that everything that they get from the parents, they could have let in. But a lot of things, especially nowadays, that the children should not let in from the parents. They shouldn't let in. They see parents that argue, parents are angry, they shouldn't let that in. But we can tell a little kid that not to let that in. They naturally have open borders in their home. And the tendency of children, as they get older, we hope that they'll be stronger. But the tachlis is not to close oneself out from the world. The tachlis is to be a person that's selective. And when something is good and something is right, then you bring it home. If something is not good, you evaluate it through the eyes of your neshama, you evaluate it, and you come to the decision that no, that's not for me. And then you have to keep it completely away. Completely away. It's not for you. And if you try to bring that in, then you can go through the winters over and over that Rav Kook was talking about. You'll feel depressed. You'll feel upset, like many of the boys are feeling in yeshiva, that they feel that they don't belong. I'm not talking about little kids in high school. I'm saying older. What are they doing there? And you have other people that are sitting at work, and they feel they don't belong at work. They belong in yeshiva. You know, and it's just this this ongoing stretched out winter that people go through. It's sad and it's unnecessary, but that's how life is. One has to be very careful to keep the iris shining brightly. Let's return to the iris. On page Nun Aleph, Siv Zayin. Perek Tes Siv Zayin. Afap Shekol Ha'olam Kulay. Even though the entire world, V'chol Ha'machshavos V'Hargashos Kulay, and all thoughts and all emotions, Mileim Heim Or Hashem, are filled with the light of Hashem. V'Kodesh Shalachayim He'Elyonim, V'Kodesh and the holiness of Chayim He'Elyonim, of great supernal exalted life. By those who have straight hearts and delight in the pleasantness of God and who are always visiting His holy place. Let me translate that into our try. It's always a da'chavsha, but let's try to translate that into regular lashon. There are certain people whose hearts are so pure and they are so connected to Hashem. So connected to Hashem Yisbarach, that wherever they go in life, they are mevakrin beheichaloi. They are visiting Hashem's holy place. In other words, the person who goes on a vacation someplace and he sees there's a beautiful sunset in that particular place, and it's, the scenery is very, 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 very pretty, very beautiful. So that's for that individual who is a person of Yeshur Halev. He's visiting Hashem's holy place at this moment. This holy place happens to be in where? In China, place, by some mountaintop in China. That's also Hashem's place. So for that person who has Yashuas Halev, who is Misanig al Noyim Hashem, who delights in Hashem's pleasantness, every thought and every emotion, just like every place where he goes to visit, it's always an opportunity to meet Hashem. For that person, it's always an opportunity of getting closer to Hashem. So that's what Rav Kook begins with. Af b'shekol ha'ilam kulay, the entire world. Really, in the core of all thoughts and all emotions, it's really Mileim Heim Or Hashem. Everything's filled with God's light. The Kodesh Shel Chaim El Yoinim and the holiness of supernal life of Chaim El Yoinim. It's a Yishrei Lev Hamis Angim Al Neim Hashem Avakim Bechol Atomit. But that, of course, is felt by the Yishrei Lev, who haven't been corrupted, and whose way of seeing things is not distorted or corrupted. So the Yishrei Lev, all machshavas, all hargoshes, everywhere in the world, every person they meet, it's another visit, it's another part of Hashem's big bais medrash that they haven't seen yet. It's another room in Hashem's temple. It's gvaldik. There's another room. I never saw this room. I was never in this room. What's this room? This room is that mountaintop in China. I was never in this room. Wow. I never saw this part of Hashem. I never saw such a thing, because Hashem is everything. I this part I never saw. Now, another person who's not from the Yishrei Lev category, who's not such a person of Yishrei Halev, he could be in that place, and it means nothing, or it means just something very, very pretty, and it's an opportunity to take a picture, or it could even mean something worse than that. It could mean something not entirely good. Associated with things, whatever, that are not holy and pure, whatever that is. It all depends on the Yashuas Halev of the one who's visiting. But for the person who's who's a behemoth, a person of who's misanig el noyim Hashem. A person who's misanig el noyim Hashem, he's mevakim behechaloi tamid. Wherever he goes, he's visiting another room in Hashem's place. And he finds out more about Hashem's Baruch in that new room. Those are for the Yishrei Leif. There aren't so many of that type. I mean, they're different madrigas, but the real Yishrei Leif, the whole world. Kol olam kula, kol machshavos v'hagashos kula meleim him or Hashem. And they'll see the Or Hashem in every song, in every, they'll hear it in every poem. They'll see it in everything that they look at. The Or Hashem. But even such an unbelievable person who's misaneg al noyim Hashem, who's mevakeh beheichaloi tamid, even such a person, he kol mokum ma'ayan ha'ayra ha'yisaydis, Hayoganz Bataira. Even that person, wherever he goes, he's meeting up with Hashem. The main headquarters of meeting Hashem is always the Torah. Mikomoka Ma'ayan Ha'ira Hayesoidis, the wellspring of the where it all comes from, the Noyim Hashem. Hayoganz Bataira, it's hidden in the Torah. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, which Rav Kook is paraphrasing now, when a person is walking somewhere, b'shaina, and he's talking and learning, he's walking with his chavrusa, and they're talking over what they're learning, right, the Mishnah tells us, and he interrupts his learning. He's talking and learning in Torah, and he interrupts his learning. Like the Mishnah says, look how beautiful this tree is. Look how beautiful this field is. Ooh. Now remember, the tree, the field, it's all, those are all rooms in Hashem's house. And a person who's misaneg, al noyim Hashem, sees Hashem everywhere. And yet the Mishnah says that if a person is learning, and he's mafsik mishnasai, and he stops, he interrupts his learning, he says, Mano ilan zeh. Ooh, look how beautiful that tree is. Look how beautiful that field is. The Mishnah says, Ma'alo avakosov kilu mischai benafshai. Ma'alo avakosov ki'ilu ki'ilu is a person that's worthy of dying. It's a strong way of saying this, I mean, God forbid thee. There are much worse affairs than this. But, what does it mean? Ma'alo avakosov kilu mischai benafshai. Afapi, Rav Kook says, of course, afapi she'en mamish mischai benafshai. He's not even a chas v'sholem, he's not mischai benafshai, he's not guilty, he's not going to be killed. But what does it mean to use such a strong lashon that Tana uses, ki'il mischai benafshai? What did he do? He was learning. That's Hashem's house. The tree, the field, also are different rooms in Hashem's house. So what's the big deal? I just want to be misaneg al noyim Hashem in a different way. So what's the Mishnah saying? Ki'ilu mischai benafshai. Now the Chassidim have an explanation of that Mishnah, which you're going to like. The Chassidim say that the meaning of the Mishnah is that the reason that when is a person mischai benafshai is that's when he looks at the tree. And to him, that's an interruption in his Torah learning. The truth is that seeing the tree should be part of your Torah learning. But if for you, there are two worlds, there's the world of your Torah, and there's the world of outside Torah, that's Kilu Mischai Benafshai. Everything is the Baruch Shalom. So it shouldn't be an interruption. Why is that an interruption? In other words, the problem, what the Chassidim is saying, is that the problem is that everything is the Or Hashem. And why did you see that as an interruption? Like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Chusik used to say, that, you know, when a person learns a sugya, Shnayim Ochsim Batalos, of two people with a garment, or if people learn a sugya of Shosh and Nagach, and by learning that, the Baal Shem Tov said, you reach an unbelievable Dveikus B'Hashem through learning that. Could you imagine when you're actually doing that in your life, when you actually have that, and you're living that, and you do it properly? In other words, when learning about Shabbos is so gevaldic, and living Shabbos, the Baal Shem Tov said this, can you imagine? So the Misnagdim didn't go for that. You could understand. They wouldn't go for that. So what the Baal Shem Tov, what the Chassidim is saying is that if a person is learning, and umafsik mimishnasa, he interrupts his learning to say, oh, that's a nice tree. Why was that an interruption for you? Why was that an interruption? That's part of your learning. It's all Hashem. Why is that an interruption? So the dogesh, the emphasis by the Chassidim is umafsik mishnasa. Why is that a hefsik? You were learning about God, and now you're seeing God. Yeah? You were reading about Hashem. You're reading Hashem's Torah, and now you're seeing. So Cook says, now we're talking about a person who, when looking at the tree, reminds him of God. That person is a chashuv person. Remember, he is enjoying the delight of being in another room of Hashem's house. And we're not talking about someone that is interrupted from his connection to Hashem by looking at the tree. He looks at the tree, and it reminds him of God. In Kra'olu Madregas, Hayestaklus Elokis. When he looks, we're talking about a guy that looks at the tree and looks at the field with a Hayestaklus Elokis in a godly way, and it reminds him of God. So if he's not saying like the Chassidim, so then why is that switching over from talking in the Gemara, talking and learning, to the actual tree and God? It's all God. So why is it ki'ilu mischayev b'nafsha? What's wrong? Again, I'm not talking about little children that are in class and they're looking out the window and not concentrating. We're talking about a big person. So what's wrong? In kva'olu l'madregas hayestaklus ha'elokis. Mikol mokum, Rav Kook says, nevertheless, Malo of a kosov ki'ilu mischai b'nafshai, that it's considered ki'ilu is mischai b'nafshai. Ki'ilu, not chas v'shalom, but ki'ilu is worthy of not being in the world. Why? Ki sof kol sof. Because the truth is, mikol ha'olam or chayim zareyachu. It's true that the light of Hashem is shining from the entire world, as he began with this in this sieve. Kol olam kulo, kol machshavos v'hagoshes, maleim hem or Hashem. And for this person, that's real. That's absolutely real. I'm not talking about somebody that's making a belief. That's real. It's not like a guy that doesn't learn and he goes to college and he hangs out in the cafeteria, and he says, because, you know, the Rambam also studied secular things. And Hashem's Ratzon is that I study, you know, medieval art. That's a game. We're not talking about someone's playing a game. This person really sees God when he looks at the tree. And still, Rav Kook explains, that's Kilim Eschai B'Navshai. Ki Sof Sof Kol Ha'olam Or Chaim Zereachu. The light of Hashem is shining from the entire world. And nevertheless, Ava min ha-Torah, Shafeh or Chayim D'Chayim. It's still a Yerida. Because the Torah is shining not just with the life, but the life of all life. Chayim D'Chayim. Chayim D'Chayim. It's like almost like, I mean, this. I'm sorry, this just came. This is a silly muscle, but it's almost like a person. Can you imagine a person who's sitting and looking with tremendous love and tremendous feelings of nostalgia and warmth, looking at a picture of his mother. Looking at a picture of his mother. It's a nice thing, no? Looking at a picture of his mother with tremendous love and tremendous feelings of connection, nostalgia, and warmth. But his mother is in the next room. His mother is mamish in the next room. And as it's, you understand, he's sitting there with a picture. Oy, mama, my mother, oh, yeah, how I love my mother. She's next in the next room. Why don't you go talk to her? Why don't you go see her? Spend some time. Instead of looking at a picture. So, it's a silly marshal, but the nimshal, I think you understand what Rav Kook is saying, is that yes, the entire world is the Or HaShem. It's the Or HaShem. It's a picture. But Kivyochel, the Chaim Baruch Hu, is Torah. That's the closest we can get. Like we learned in Tanya, in the fifth parable. That's the closest that we can get. That's the Chaim Baruch Hu, Mamish. Torah. And Rav Kook certainly is not suggesting that one never does that. Of course. And we're going to see notes there also how Rav Kook, in his program of learning, wanted very much that there should be breaks and a way for a person to be able to look in a godly way at other things outside of Torah. But one should know that a person's mafsik mimishnasik to say, oh, it's a nice tree, it's a beautiful field, meaning I see God in the field, I see God in the tree, it's still ki'ilu mischayev benafsha. It's some sort of a giving up of the soul. Because the Torah is the chayei chayim. It's not a picture. It's the real thing. It's the life of life. Everything else is life. It's the life of life. Chaim de Chaim. And it's a din. Vein oizim kedusha chamura. The kairis. Why would one leave the higher level of kedusha, which is the original kedusha? Why would one leave that? The Taifsim Bimkarma Kedusha Kalima Ma'atekis, and take a lower level of Kedusha that's already been separated on some level, in some way, has already been disconnected from the Shirish of its Kedusha. Another silly marshal. You see people now walk around a lot with these kind of things with pollen spring. Which I told him many times, I don't fully believe that it comes from a spring. I can't prove that, but ever since I saw around 25 years ago when they first started coming out with these French mineral waters and stuff, and I remember seeing in Med Magazine a guy, like a fancy store selling these expensive bottles of water, and then the next thing you see like a guy with tattoos and whiskers and a big belly in the back with a hose coming from the bathroom, filling up all the bottles. I haven't been able to get that out of my mind. Those are one of those lingering images of my youth. So, if you imagine a person's walking around with, and there actually is such a place. I don't know if in Poland there is such a place. Huh? It's Maine. Oh, why is it called Poland? Huh?
It wasn't coming from there. Places.
Oh, there's a place in Maine called Poland? Figures that the guy from Poland probably thought he was in Warsaw, but he's actually in Maine. So can imagine a person is walking with Poland Springs, and he's over there, and there's a big sign, and it says there Poland Spring. I mean, there is such a place. Let's say I don't believe it, but let's say there's such a place, and it's Poland Spring, and you come. Let's say it's in Maine. It's not in Poland. Okay, Maine is also. I was never there, but Maine's supposed to be very pretty. A very healthy, I don't know, whatever's going on over there. So you go to Maine, and there's this beautiful place, and you ask somebody, what's going on over here? So you say, this is Poland Springs. Poland Spring? And the guy takes out from his thing, and he makes a shahakal, and he drinks, and he has the whole Poland Spring that's standing over there, and he could go over there and take a drink from Poland Spring. Or he could take his bottle, empty it out from the stuff that came from pipes and other things, and he goes and he puts his bottle, or he gets something new, and he puts it into the water, and he's drinking mamish from the makar. That's the difference between seeing Hashem outside Torah and seeing Hashem inside Torah. Outside of the Torah, it all comes from Hashem, but it's already gone through some pipes of this world. It came down into this world in such a way. When you're learning Torah, that's the Chayei Chaim Baruch Hu. It's mamash the spring itself. So that's what Rav Kook says at the end here. Vein oizim kedusha chamura. Vein oizim kedusha chamura mekaris. Why would you leave kedusha chamura, such a madrega of kedusha Torah? Why would you be mafsik from your learning in the middle of learning? We're talking about person, they're in the middle of learning. Why would you be mafsik in the middle of learning? Vein oizim kedusha chamura mekaris, which is the original light of Hashem, which is the spring, which is the Be'er Ma'im Chaim itself. This is the Be'er Ma'im Chaim itself. Why would you leave that? The toifsim bimkaim and take instead and settle instead kedusha kala for a lower level of kedusha, which is ma'asekis, which means which has been transferred, which has gone through a pipe. Why would you give that up? Why would you give up the original for something else? Not that it's all Hashem, but there you're at the chai chaim, you're at the makor, you're where it begins. That's the Torah. That's the first stop. It's the first stop. Same thing, going back to the other marshal. Same thing. A person is sitting. He's sitting in his hotel in Yerushalayim, looking at pictures of the Kaisel. It's the same thing. If someone says to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I came there to sell," and here in the lobby they have beautiful paintings of the Kaisel. Beautiful. See, the Kaisel is from this hotel. You can take the taxi, and in 5-6 minutes, you could be mamish at the Kaisel. He's a crazy person. The picture of the Kaisel is only something that's a kedusha matekis. But to be at the Kaisel, that's the place of kedusha. That's where it comes from. That's what Rav Kook is saying here in this Siv. Is that the Yishrei Lev, everywhere they go in life, wherever they are in life, they're visiting rooms in Hashem's place. And everything is Hashem. And the Mis'anig, every single second of their lives, they're Mis'anigim Anoyim Hashem, Umavakim Bechol Atomid. Umavakim Bechol Atomid. But to be in with the king, mamish, in not in a room of the palace, not an extension, a room of the palace, but to be mamish, to be there with the king himself, that's Torah, is to be with the king himself. I mean, that's the closest we can get, obviously. That's Torah. If a person doesn't feel that in his Torah, that goes back to what we're learning in Sivav and all that we've been learning the past few weeks. That means that there's something about the Torah that you're learning, and you're trying to learn, but you don't feel in that you don't feel that's original. You don't feel that it's the waters, you don't feel that it's Poland Springs. You feel that it's something else. That's a problem. It means you haven't gotten to that place within yourself, the shoresh of that Torah, that's the Torah of your neshama. Because when you come to that place, then you'd bend down and you drink straight from the water. You don't have to use all kinds of kelim and kelim shayim. That's mamash who you are. When you have already, it's bottled, and it's already been manufactured and bottled, and then they put in different flavors. You can get, I don't know if they make Poland Springs with flavors. They do? That also came like that from Poland? So they have Poland Springs with flavors. So then already it's been flavored. It's been artificially flavored. All natural flavors, I guess they say. All natural, artificial, whatever it is. But it's artificial, then. Because there's no such thing as a spring that I never heard of, a spring that grows with orange or lime or anything like that. So it's artificial. When a person's in the place of who he is, then he drinks straight from the water. It doesn't go into any flavors. It doesn't need any bottles and flavors and other things. It is what it is. So if one does not feel that in one's Torah, and one only feels that when looking at the tree or looking at the field, how beautiful it is, and you can't feel Hashem in Torah, that means there's a serious problem in how you're learning or what you're learning, whatever that is. There's a problem, because the Torah is the king himself. The closest you can get, that's the spring. So if you don't feel that, then there's something wrong, and you have to work on it. Whatever that work is, we're not talking about it, but there's something wrong, because one should feel that. It's there. But it's a matter of connecting to it. We should be zeichem Hashem to drink from the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, not from the Pesach soda bottles, but from the real Be'er Ma'im Chaim of Hashem as well.